The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
If you turn the mic and you don't have to do that.
Well, turn it over, this mic stinks.
No, but turn it over.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Now it sounds much better. I do this. Yeah, so it's now it's
Look
like
at
I'm,
Lance.
He's now it's like I'm at a press con.
What's that?
See, we can't do that. You can't.
Oh, that's right.
There's fours of people streaming.
I'm going to tell you what. The streaming numbers? Stupid good.
So last night, my son has a Little League playoffs. And so we're there. And we're there until 10 o'clock.
You what?
Yeah, it started at 7:40. The game got started a little late because they had to wait for the TNT game to finish. That's just what happens every playoff game when you're the second game. You have to wait 10 to 15 minutes. Anyway, so I didn't get back home. I was keeping track of the Astros on the phone. Then when I got home, it really exploded. The scoring did. And then I was like, in Keuchel, it was 10-1 at the time, and I'm like, I'm going to bed. This is too late. And I figured this game is going to last forever. I wake up. It was 16-3 was the final. Well, yeah, because the Sipper came in and did his business. But in the last inning. But the Astros crushed, I think it's 16-2. And I thought, how long did this freaking game end up lasting? 2 hours and 57 minutes. Well, how do you have 20 hits for one team, 16 runs, and a game doesn't go 3 hours?
Well, the other team scored two, and Keuchel works pretty good.
And Keuchel does.
And there were only 7,000 people there, which didn't interrupt any of the play.
No, there was only 7,000.
7,000 was the number last night. I mean, how do they survive? And honest to God, how does baseball survive in Oakland? What a terrible, terrible. That is Siberia. That's Sacramento. Is there a worse? Because at least in Cleveland, the Browns fans, they care. It's the NFL, though,
yeah.
So that's
obvious. Yeah.
But Sacramento, although they have a new stadium, and I've been to that's nice. It may be the nicest arena I've ever been in Sacramento.
Really?
Oh, my God.
The
basketball arena.
What have you done at the basketball? Why were you at the basketball arena in Sacramento?
When
was it a kidnapping?
Rice played Stanford the night before the Rockets were playing at Sacramento.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, so we went up there and we saw that as well. But they have 11 games this year, the Astros do, in which they scored 7 runs or more. Here's another one, 11, 16, blah, 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 blah. They have 11 games this year in which they scored 1 run or less. So they have only won one of those games. So, and they won all the games in which they've scored 7 or more runs.
Okay.
So that's 12. You're 2 games over 500. The other 15 games, you're 5 games over 500. What they got to do is somehow get, instead of 16, maybe split it up in 8-8 or 6-6-6. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, it's feast. If you want to talk about a feast or famine team, holy crap. It doesn't get any more feast or famine than this baseball team.
No.
It really doesn't.
No, but it's a good thing to see yesterday the hitting woes were solved and the run scoring woes were solved and everything's fine.
No, well, you know, Springer was 6-for-6 and that was nice. And
tied a mark by Joe. Joe Morgan had that mark and he tied that mark 6-for-6 in a game for an Astro.
That was nice.
And he didn't need extra innings to do it. He was just... He just got his 6 well, in, and
yeah, right. When you
Joe Morgan
score
needed,
16, you'll bat 6.
Joe
times.
Did it in 12 innings.
Joe did it in 12.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, right. I mean, but when you score 16, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
So awfully nice. He had 3 RBIs as well. He also homered with 2 runners on, which was outrageous because that never, ever, ever, he's never had any runners on this
season. Don't look. Don't look at that screen. Yeah. Don't look at that screen. One person who went up to the plate for the Astros did not have a hit yesterday. Everyone else had a hit.
Jake Marisnick was 0-for-1.
That's right.
He struck out.
That would be here. I was just testing you. Yeah, I mean, he would have been.
Well, Gattis, how about this? Gattis upped his average with a 1-for-5.
I know, and he went up. That's good.
He upped his average. It's almost impossible to up your average with 1-for-5 if you are a guy who plays almost every day.
Marwin hit well.
Marwin did hit well.
And he's the big one. I mean, truth be told, more than likely it's going to have to be Marwin that comes back and gets up into the 270, 280 range for the Astros to kind of get back to where they were.
The problem with last night and Marwin is now he's up to 248, which is deceiving. But now, he had a big night, and he had five RBIs, and it was awesome, and don't get me wrong, and it's Major League Baseball, and it's difficult. It is the A's, okay, and it was Brett Anderson, who is just not – well, Brett Anderson is a Major League pitcher. He's been around for a long time.
Sure.
But they just destroyed him. The problem with a game like this and the games where they're scoring 8, 10, 11 runs is that it's, I think it's fool's gold a lot of times. Wouldn't you much rather have a team that was, I mean, Dom Capers always said this, and Noose, I don't know if you agree. Well, I'd rather have a guy who runs a 4-5 every time than a guy who will run a 4-3-8 once every four times.
Did he see that? Did he say that about Shaquem Griffin? Because that's what happened with Shaquem Griffin. He ran a 4-3-8 or whatever, and then ran a 4-5-8, and we're like,
yeah, right.
What is this?
Well, what do you know? So, what do you know about that guy? He said, "I'd rather have a guy who's consistent all the time." Would you rather have that?
Yeah, you would. You would. But, I mean, I would. They clearly, because what this does is it, the people who just go to scurry to Baseball Reference just to see the total numbers will say, oh, the Astros are scoring. They've scored the same amount of runs or whatever. They'll try to make that argument. But 16 runs in a game is really, in a blowout game, is great. But you're at some point, you're just kind of padding stats. Like, after 8 runs, after your margin of victory, let's say, is 7. So that after your margin of victory is 7, let's say you cut off all the other runs, because you don't need more than that. Well, then let's say that yesterday they only get 9 runs. And the additional 17 are just superfluous.
Can you put them in the bank?
You can't put them in a bank.
Oh, yeah, well,
then let's see what the true runs scored. You know, you can create some kind of metric for true runs or effective runs. Or so you give it a name like that. But I know what you're saying, because then, you know, if they scored 1-1 the next two games, then it looks like they averaged 6 runs a game.
Right.
And they didn't. So that's what's a little trickier about this year. I don't mind. Hey, I love when they score runs in bunches. They do that. They did it all year last year. That's great. They just need to do it more 7, 8, 9 this year. And we'll see if they can get it going. I think they will get it going. I don't think it's going to be like last year. You know, I'm looking at Marwin's career numbers. His best let me just say his best OPS, because baseball people hate when you say best batting average,
right, and that's fine.
Let's just say best OPS. His best career OPS.
Let me guess. Before last year.
Do you know what it was for last year?
I have no. Oh, no, I don't. I'm going to say it was 830.
759.
Last year was 759.
No, last year was 907.
Oh, okay. I thought 830 was last year.
907 is high.
That's high. That's really high. That was higher than I thought.
907 was last year.
So 730
was his best. His best was 759.
759.
759. This is the total out. Last year was a complete and total outlier. And he was 28 last year, which you would say, okay, well, maybe he's hitting his prime. Maybe so.
Yeah.
If he is, then this year we can expect more of what he did last year. But the top home runs he had had previously is that his previous season with the Astros, 484 at-bats. He had 13 homers and 51 RBIs and a 694 OPS. Last year, out of nowhere, with fewer at-bats, he had 23 homers, 90 RBIs. That's why I heard somebody go, is Marwin? Are we sure on Marwin?
No.
23-90 with a 907. And he's had double-digit home runs in the last three seasons, but he's also, you know, put in some at-bats. You just can't expect to see Marwin Gonzalez. I mean, last year may have truly been the outlier if you look at it from this year and the years prior. So even if it was the outlier, though, you want to see him get up to the 270 mark. You want to see his OPS get into the mid, because right now he's at 706. You want to see that around 750 to 760. He didn't have to do what he did last year, but he needs to do what he did the years before, and he needs to be better if he's getting better.
Maybe this is a springboard. I've never really trusted Reddick, but I'll tell you this. If you got Springer, Altuve, Correa, Yuli, Bregman, and Marwin all coming close to what they did last, that's the six in the order. Again, the difference last year was that the bottom of the order was just – and Marwin, for the most part, was at the bottom of the order. A lot of times, Yuli was at the bottom of the order last year. He hit eighth a lot before AJ got a lot of confidence in him and moved him up into the lineup. If Reddick can hit – I think this is probably where Reddick belongs, where he batted last night, is down at the bottom of the order. Of course, it was against the left-handed hitter, against left-handed pitcher. Evan Gattis, I don't know that he's ever going to hit again, and I don't think we'll find out whether or not Stassi. I trust McCann because McCann is getting older. He's a half time.
Great last year.
But I'll tell you what, Stassi at the plate looks confident. Stassi is a fine backup catcher in the Major League Baseball. It ain't easy to find. No. I'll tell you what, I think Max Stassi could hit 250 this season, and if you get that out of your backup catcher, I think you just take that. And if he's going to bat ninth in the order, that's fine. It's that I think the DH and that left field spot, if you're gonna have, if you got Mariznick or you got Fisher out there, I think you're really going to struggle. Now, somebody tweeted last night, how are we ever supposed to know if Derek Fisher is going to be an everyday player if you never bat him against lefties? I don't know that. Here's the thing about AJ. And last year, you saw it with Peacock. You saw it with you see it with guys all the time. Is that AJ's got total confidence in every starter in this rotation right now. He will stay with them seven innings. Peacock got in trouble in the fifth, and he was out of there because AJ didn't have confidence in him. Right. Derek Fisher, of a lefty, no, I'm not doing it. AJ's just like, no, I'm not doing it. You can tell the guys that he has confidence in and the guys that he just doesn't have any confidence in.
Yeah,
I don't think Max Stassi is going to face many right-handers this year. If he has to, if you got to give McCann a day off, okay, you'll do that. But for the most part, you're going to see McCann, and rightfully so. McCann is a veteran and done a nice job. But you can tell the guys that he just doesn't have any confidence. Fisher was hitting last weekend, or the weekend before I wrote about it, and he was 4-for-10 with a couple of homers, and you didn't see him for the next three games. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you play a guy when your offense is struggling as much as it is? Why wouldn't you play? Because he just doesn't have confidence in him. He just doesn't have that confidence in him. I would love to see whether or not Derek Fisher, because if you're not going to bring Tucker up, okay, I get that. But let's find out what Fisher is then. You know what? Let's find out if Fisher is a guy that you're actually going to be able to count on. He had no confidence in Fisher in the postseason. He got zero at-bats. Maybe he got one at bat. He got one at bat the whole postseason last year. That's all he did was pitch.
He's a runner. He's just a runner.
He's just a runner.
He's just a regular runner.
Wait a minute. You can't have that in a
season. You want Fisher to get the extended look?
I really do.
Okay.
I mean,
I'd be okay with it. I mean, it's not nothing hurt. Look, all they have to do is be who they're supposed to be, 1 through 6th. And 7 needs to be average. And in 8 and 9, you just hope every once in a while one of the guys gets a little bit hot. That's all. I mean, that's realistically. We watched a lot of Astros baseball over the years while we've been doing shows. If they had 5 good hitters, we were really happy.
Yeah.
If they had 5, they were a bunch of slap nuts out there.
But that was
Astros.
What made last year so special.
Yeah.
Is that 1 through 9, there was no letup.
But even now, they're way better than other Astros teams that we watch hitting-wise. Way better.
But the standard is different now.
Well, their standard is different because they're great, but I'm just saying that's why we got to keep it in perspective that it's not the norm to have a 7 guys deep good, even good lineup 7 guys deep. That's not really the norm. Every once in a while you'll see lineups like that. And I mean, you've got some in Major League Baseball this year, and you need to be one of those teams right now because there is more of an emphasis put on hitting. I was watching – well, I'll do this on the other side. There was – a video. I got into videos yesterday. I got into baseball YouTube rabbit hole that included a lot of baseball fights. But somehow I ran into a Hawk Harrelson,
what?
A set of Hawk Harrelson from the Chicago White Sox. Huh? video where he was arguing in 2013 with Brian Kenny from ESPN about analytics. And it, this is just not – this video is not going to age well. I want to get into that a little bit because you start listening to the old school guys talk about, you know, the well, Hawk said, until you have a metric or a stat or a metric on TWTW, I don't think we can really have this discussion. And Brian goes, what is – and Brian was – they were arguing on MLB Now. Brian – it's like, what is TW? You know, he's waiting. What is TWTW? The will to win. Unless there's a metric on the will to win. You know Harold Reynolds, what I'm talking about. Harold Reynolds was a great player. Stats would say he's a good player. No, he was a great player. His ability to steal a base late in the game when you, you know, blah, 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 bunting and all this. And I just thought, man, every year that passes where more and more people become analytically inclined in their thinking – This video is going to get worse and worse every single year because all sports is moving to it.
Well, I get that, but that's a good topic. However, yeah, there's some of that you have to agree with. I mean, I do, and we'll talk about it on the other side. Right. But right now, we're going to talk about Mark Klein over at Klein's Fine Jewelers. KleinsJewelry.com. KleinsJewelry.com. You got to get to Klein's Jewelry and see what Mark is doing on what Mark is doing. He is unbelievable right now. And if you got, look at, you've got so much going on with graduations. This is a great graduation present for somebody, and you can get it so cheap. I'm telling you, Mark is unbelievable how low he will go for you. If you're looking for that necklace, that ring, that watch, whatever it is in jewelry, dude has it going on, and he is going to get it for you at the best price that you're going to see in the city. And I'm not, this is not even a joke. I mean, he is going to get you the best price that you will see in the city. He is spectacular, and he's been doing this for our listeners for how long now? And Mark is the best in the business. I'm telling you, if you're looking for that jewelry right now, KleinsJewelry.com, KleinsJewelry.com, 832-316-1388. He will make it for you right there. He will design it for you. If you've got a picture, you bring it into him and he will make it. He'll make exactly what you're looking for. He is at Fountain View in Westheimer now, 5868 Westheimer. And, you know, right by the Houston's, in between Jason's Deli and Houston's, right there on Fountain View, on Westheimer, just off Fountain View. And I'm telling you, he's a manufacturer and retail store. You're going to get the best prices. This is not a joke. If you're looking for jewelry, whatever it is that you need, 5868 Westheimer, all you got to do is get the Klein's. Call them, 832-316-1388. It's Klein's Jewelry.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Shout out to Matt and Leilani. I mean, you probably, I don't know, probably a lot of couples named Matt and Leilani. Del, you think?
I mean, Leilani is a unique name, so even that being part of a couple name is kind of.
Yeah, well, it, usually you'd think that Leilani would be with a.
A what?
Well, I mean, a Leilani, you would think she would be with somebody more exotic than a Matt.
Does Leilani look like a Leilani?
She looks like a Leilani. I saw him yesterday over at Herman Park. We were having a little beer after the round. My Wendy's uncle Tim and I, we ran around Herman Park yesterday. And we were just sitting there, and Matt and Leilani came up, and they listened to the show.
Oh, thank you.
And they were very, very nice people. Very, very. And he's been listening. He said, I've been listening to you since first grade. I was like, hmm.
So they were a young couple.
That's look, terrible.
You look.
They were a young couple.
They were a young couple, but not nearly as young as I was hoping they'd be. I thought that I was hoping they'd be 12, but.
Well, no, you've been around quite a bit. I've been told that. I've been listening to you guys forever. Yeah. Me. Me and my dad used to go to school. Now yes. I got four kids. This, like, what?
Yeah.
No,
this is
don't.
What Matt and Leilani were. Matt was telling me this, and I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, so.
Is Matt swinging above his pay grade with Leilani?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the name Leilani. That's why I'm like, all right, yeah. Matt's doing good. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like it.
No, but. Hey, come on.
Hawaiian girl.
What guy? Yeah. And you would think he'd be with a.
A Julie?
Yeah, or Ulieski or somebody.
Why
I don't know.
Matt be with the Ulieski.
Ulieski.
Well, isn't that a dude's name?
Well, yeah, it's the only dude Leilani we know.
Would, I said Leilani oh. Would be oh, okay. with a Leilani oh, would be okay. with a Ulieski.
You don't want it with Yuli Gurriel.
No.
I thought you're
no, but he's got.
I've
like,
heard stories about
Leilani
Yuli.
And Yuli's got pineapple hair.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
So you just associate Leilani with pineapples.
Well. She's exotic.
I feel like this went from a shout out to like, oh, we just lost a listener.
Yeah.
No, we did.
Oh, we just lost two more listeners.
Sorry, Matt and Leilani. I thought you were going to shout out the Caps.
Anyway, so thanks. They couldn't have been nicer and loved meeting them. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. Warren Sharp is going to join us here. He will have the Texans every line from every Texans game this season.
Break them down. Before training camp?
Yep. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Before we get word on who's starting where.
Did you see JJ's long drive?
No,
JJ's didn't. Fine because he pounded the ball in the Texans golf tournament.
Yeah.
And you have rookie camp. Did rookie camp start to when? Is it today? You know, it'd be great if we actually got a. Where's the. Do we. I didn't even get an email telling me the dates or anything.
Nothing.
Is that not available to the media?
It is. Yes, it's available to the media. We're just the only ones that didn't hear about it.
Is this or just Texans radio can go? Only Texans radio because they talk about Texans all the time. When I say Texans radio, I mean all of 610.
Well, I'm sure that they've got a tent out there and they're doing their entire show from there or whatever.
That's miserable, boy.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, when we used to have to go out there like.
In the summer.
It's just so hot.
Anyway, Sharp, Dell, 8 o'clock, we're going to have Warren Sharp on.
And he's going to break down every line.
We're going to break down. We're going to see where we've got if so the Texans have an advantage.
We're going to go through 16 games of Texans before
we're going to look at where do we think early on. Early on. Here's where you can make some money, Dell.
You know how early on it is?
Well, it's really, really early on. But here's the thing is that, well, Dell, if you weren't negative, this is where you can project. Actually, you can make some money here. This is where you can project where teams are going to be. And, boy, that line is way, way off. The difference in the line from now you can only bet the limit is they put a circle around all of these games is that you can bet 500 on them. That's the limit that you can bet on them. Because if you see if you think one team is not going to be nearly as good, you can get a queer line right now. You can get you a line that is going to be, by the time the game is being played, way off. Way off.
Possibly, but Vegas isn't a way off. Point spread type of place.
Oh, no. A lot of these lines, preseason lines now are way off.
According to Warren Sharp.
No. By the time you play the game, these lines are way off. That happens all the time.
But what's going to change?
Like Auburn and Alabama last year, no one knew Auburn was going to be.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying late season games.
Yeah.
It can
usually, like the Patriots and Texans, it's going to be pretty close. That's the first game of the year.
Well, the only way they're way off is if you can project a team that will be much better than last year
right.
or much worse.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's how you do it.
So I would tell you the team that's going to be much better is Cleveland.
Yes.
I think Cleveland's going to be much better right away.
I got
with Tyrod Taylor. They're winning the division?
Winning the division.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger's busy hating on everything. Like, Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco not taking this quarterback thing drafted. And Joe Flacco's, they traded into the first to go get Lamar Jackson. He knows. Ben Roethlisberger, like, chill out, dude. You're a quarterback forever.
No, this
until
was about
you shut it down.
His guys. He feels bad for Josh Dobbs and Landry Jones.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get somebody who could help them win now in the third round.
Yes.
Right.
You can get a third round pick to help you.
Well,
you can.
Where was Alvin Kamara drafted?
You can.
Was he a second round pick or a third round?
I think he was second.
Okay.
But Alvin Kamara is going to be one of the great outliers. Like I kept running into
Kamara
everyone
was
to draft.
Third, wasn't he?
He might have.
He was third, and so was Kareem Hunt.
I had a first round grade on Kamara. His tape was just ridiculous. But the only problem was you couldn't find him, and he never had any game where he carried it more than 18 times in a game or 15, something crazy. But you know what? Throughout this draft process, people kept trying to come up with, is he like, would you say he's this year's Alvin Kamara? I'm like, no. Is Sony Michel this year's Alvin Kamara? No. Mm-hmm. Is Nyheim Hines this year? No. There's no Alvin Kamara in this year's draft. Like, Alvin Kamara had special tape as a runner and could really catch out of the backfield. And he was a really plus athlete. There is no Alvin Kamara in this draft. Stop trying to make the next Alvin Kamara happen.
Right, next year.
Yeah, let's say if it comes out and there is one, okay, that's fine.
Well, where's the next Tom Brady? Okay, the sixth rounder.
Kyle LaLetta, I'm hearing, is the next Tom Brady.
Danny Etling.
Okay. You mentioned Alvin Kamara being a guy who never had more than 18 or 15 carries in the in college. Do you think the Texans would have used Alvin Kamara the way the Saints did, or would they have used Alvin Kamara the way they used Lamar Miller?
Why do we have to do that?
Lamar Miller has that same profile, never got a lot of carries in college. Do you think they would
have? Well, Lamar had a lot of catches his first year with
the Eagles. I'm talking about as far as carries in terms of per game. He never got over 20 really in college and in the NFL.
Well, now how many did Alvin Kamara have last year?
I'm talking about usage. We see the Saints use
Would they
Alvin
have used
Kamara.
Him like they used him in Tennessee, basically?
Well, the Texans, you know what? We're going to go draft Alvin Kamara. Do you think they would have been smart enough to use him like the Saints do?
Why do you have to say we have dumb coaches?
I think they would have used him similarly, yeah. Because Bill O'Brien shown he likes to work in other running backs if he thinks he has one.
Lamar Miller was a guy who was good out of backfield with the Dolphins. They used him on screens and split him out and stuff. But the Texans decided in his first three games to hand him the ball 20-plus times.
Well, that's all they had. They had Alfred Blue, too.
That's my question. Usage, because I know we're going to get it with Warren Sharp, and he talks about, I'm sure, with Deshaun and everything, that the Texans may be better than some people think because Deshaun's back. Mm-hmm. My question is, do we trust their staff to use their players in the right spot?
Again, all right? Why you got to – Bill O'Brien's just sitting there. All of a sudden, hey, is Bill O'Brien smart enough to use Alvin Kamara?
We're trying to get – we're trying to beat the lines, so that's a fair question.
Because
if they do, maybe they'll be much better than we expect. Better than John expects.
No, I think the insinuation is Dell's like, they're not smart enough to use him anyway.
I'm just asking – with Deshaun, we know that makes the Texans far better than we might imagine, at least coming off of last year. Will Bill O'Brien use his players in the best possible way?
I think they would. That's a legitimate question. I think they would have used that's who Alvin Kamara was in college. How many yards rushing did he have last year, Alvin Kamara?
I don't know, but he was used a lot as a pass catcher.
A lot. How many rushes did he have?
I would say he had maybe five a game.
Well, way more than that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Touches? How many?
He had 120 rushes.
Did he? Well, that's not. Yeah.
120 rushes, less than 10 a game.
Right. He had about six. He had about six a game.
Well, five a game would put him at 80.
Right, and six a game. Would be another six. Seven or eight.
Yeah, he's more like eight a game. And then he had 100 targets, 81 catches.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara had a great rookie season, but, you know, they didn't use him any differently than Tennessee did, really, at the end of the day. You put the ball in his hands, you find ways to. And I'll tell you why Bill O'Brien would have. Bill O'Brien drafted Tyler Irvin specifically so he could use him as a receiver, as a runner, with some touches. He wanted to get the ball in his hands, and then he was also a return man, and he's been hurt a bunch of times. So he was looking for that profile player. You know, he's been looking for that kind of profile player, and he thought he had it in Tyler Irvin, which he doesn't.
Right.
I think he would have used him the same.
Well, I think I know what where Dell is going there.
I don't know why that question bothers you so much.
Because
it's not like I really because,
okay, well, if Bill O'Brien had Tom Brady, would he really use him correctly?
Alvin Kamara's Tom Brady? I just use a running back.
Because
they got a running back
had Antonio Brown, would he use him correctly?
Okay, it's not a pertinent to ask question about a guy utilizing his players in the best possible way. When we're talking about maybe the Texans outplaying their projection.
I just kind of feel like it was a shot at our coach for no reason.
Stop being so damn sensitive.
Okay, I just feel like you took a shot at our coach for absolutely no reason.
All right, Toro Johnny.
Because he was 6-0.
Oh, Toro Johnny.
Because he was 6-0 with Deshaun at the helm.
He was 3-3.
Okay, same thing. It's time for you to save people money, Lance.
Hey, let me tell you something about Bill Advisor. Bill Advisor has been saving people thousands, And they want you to text money to 232323. That's money to 232323. And here's what I know they saved. They saved me over $3,400 in 2 years. Now it's 2,000. They saved me 2,000 in 24 hours. I say 24 is really more like four hours. They started, I texted money to 2320. Well, it was different when I did it 2 years ago. But right now, when you text money to 232323, they hit you back. You're going to provide them your bills that you want them to renegotiate. And it's going to be like cables, you know, cable, satellite, home, cell phone, internet. These are the big savers off right off the top. Homeowners insurance and car insurance can also be big savers. And by the way, you know, you can cancel those whenever you want. You can get a refund on the amount, the prorated amount you haven't used. So if you want to change homeowners right now, you can do that. And that can be a big savings. But what they'll do is they renegotiate your rates for you so that you get new customer rates. They get you bill credits. They get you lower rates. In my case with DirecTV, they got me more programming at a much lower rate, which I couldn't do for myself because I tried. And after 17 years with DirecTV, I left for 6 months. They got me back on and got me more channels for much less. Go to BillAdvisor.com or text money to 232323, and I swear they are going to save you so much for one low monthly fee of $12.99 per month.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here and talk on the radio, you're more than welcome to do that. We have the shortest wait times in the history of radio. Zach is with us. He wants to get on and talk. What do you say, Zach?
Hey, that's way shorter than the Blitz, man. Good job.
Thank you. See? It's proven. It's a fact. We've won awards from it.
There you go. Wanted to ask you a question on Kiki Kuti. I'm a little bit of a Texas Tech fan, so of course I'm going to be a little biased. With Wes Welker on staff and all that they got going there with that, does he have way more upside than Braxton? And can he look to be like kind of your Alvin Kamara for the Texans this year, who, you know, catches the ball, does something with it more than what was expected? Or is he going to be our next Tyler Irvin?
Well, God, I hope not. But those guys are more running back, Kamara, and he's more slot receiver. And I think he's going to be in the slot. I think Welker would be hopefully is a better model to look at than Kamara. Kamara coming out of the backfield. I don't think you're going to put QT in the backfield as a running back. But I love him. Talking to one of the coaches over at Texas Tech about him. He said, "Man, tough kid. You know, he's just 5'9", but loved him. He's got a great attitude. He's got." You know, he just wants to. He ain't scared of nothing. He's going over the middle. Wasn't great. Couldn't catch punts. That was a problem. Otherwise, they would use him. They used him as a kick returner, but they couldn't use him as a punt returner because he just had a problem catching punts for whatever reason. But he's got great hands in the passing game. So I know that might scare you. So, he can't catch, and you know, no, he can catch. He just can't. He for whatever reason, he just didn't do well at catching punts. Now I see him more as an Edelman or a Welker kind of guy than a Kamara.
I would say, how about Hunter Renfrow? We know Deshaun liked using that guy at Clemson. He's still there. Seemed like he'd been there forever. But that's a guy who Deshaun was comfortable with in the slot. And if that is something he can become, we know Deshaun likes to throw the ball to guys in the slot. So
right. Do you notice all the white guys we're comparing him to?
Yeah, but he's not white, so we're fine.
Yeah, so it's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay. But you can't have a comparison of a Kiki QT to a Welker, Edelman,
or Renfro.
Renfro, Braxton, Berrios.
Well, actually, you can if it makes sense. Well, but none but of those
no,
make
it's,
sense.
It's illegal. You can't. You have to compare white guy to white guy.
If there is, see Edelman. About, Edelman comparisons are tricky. You know, I don't know that if people really understand how good
Edelman.
I remember Dana Holgerson got a little hot at me one time whenever I said, "If Wes Welker doesn't come back from a knee, Julian Edelman's just as good. He can do the same thing." He was listening. He came out to Jake's. We were at Jake's Philly Steaks broadcast, and he's like, "I heard what you said about Wes. Couldn't be more wrong. Wes is special, and Wes is." And it turns out, nah, Edelman did the same thing, and actually is better. Like Julian Edelman is a freak at how quick he is and his ability to get open. Like he's going to go down. I don't know how he's going to go down because Tom Brady is so good that, you know, everything will be downplayed a little bit.
Well, plus a time missed, too, is going to hurt him.
But he has changed, and I will give Wes credit for this. Wes kind of helped change the I think he helped change the – Wes single-handedly put this little white, quick slot wide receiver on the map. He went from being – that was an undrafted player back in the day. The Cowboys drafted Ryan Switzer, who they just traded now, what, in the fourth round from North Carolina? I mean – that guy was not better than Wes Welker necessarily coming out. He was good. They were about the same. But Wes single-handedly pushed value into that position.
Okay. Renfro, Berrios, Switzer, and QT.
Renfro. Oh, Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, Hunter Renfro.
From Clemson?
Yeah. Which will be the best of those? Because they're kind of similar, all similar guys.
Berrios, where did Berrios went to?
He went to the Patriots.
Patriots. He's perfect. He's
Braxton
a perfect.
Berrios went to the Patriots.
Yeah, he's a perfect
people
Patriot.
People predicted that before the draft process, and it happened.
That's right. He's the next Danny Amendola over there, although he's a little smaller than Danny. Oh, my God. I mean, he's the most Patriot pick of all time.
Of all time.
I had all these picks. And
it's
so
like Utah took Gordon Hayward. Oh, really?
No, like perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I would say Berrios, Hunter Renfro, or who else?
Switzer.
See, Switzer, where did he get traded just now? From the Cowboys. He got traded on draft day. So he actually got moved. I'll go ahead and say...
He's a Raider.
I'll say Hunter Renfro. Ah, man, I don't... Yeah, because Tom's not going to be quarterback in there a lot longer. I'm going to go Hunter Renfro. Of course, I'm saying that, and he doesn't even have
a college.
Yeah,
but Danny Etling is right there after Tom Brady.
That's true. Danny Etling was the worst player that I watched, quarterback that I watched this year. He was a throwing quarterback
in
the combine.
How in the belief did they take him?
I have no idea. He was a throwing quarterback at the combine.
So you think that, so of all of them,
I mean,
that you like Hunter Renfro the best?
Well, because I don't know about Braxton Berrios after Tom Brady, and you really got to throw it to him now. He cannot.
What about Deshaun throwing it to QT?
Oh well, you didn't throw him.
Yeah,
in the
I
mix.
Did. I said QT too.
Oh, I think he's got a chance to
I
be.
I think
the,
he
that,
does
that
too.
Would be the guy that I would say one.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know he was in the mix. I would say Kiki is the one that would have the best shot. Man, I liked him a lot when I watched him on tape. My initial grade was even higher. Was more like a third, and then I dropped him a little bit to the fourth. He got drafted in the fourth, right? Dropped him to like a fourth round projection. But man, he can go vertical on you. He's quick out of his breaks, so he can get easy separation underneath. I mean, to me, Braxton Miller, one thing that I thought was obvious in studying him pre-draft is he wasn't good with routes. All right, well, he only had 1 year as a wide receiver. That's understandable. Sure. He'll get better. But then I don't know if he's gotten better. He hasn't gotten better in practice. He had trouble staying healthy. He's just not a factor. And
That said... Edelman was a quarterback. Hines Ward was a quarterback. I mean,
yeah. Randwell.
Yeah, they just Braxton Miller
sometimes
just hasn't done it.
Hey, here's a newsflash: guys can't just switch positions and automatically have success. A lot of guys are going
to
try.
No, but some guys
it.
Can.
Some guys can't. What I'm saying is, you can't just say, "We'll just move him to wide receiver."
Yeah, right.
I mean, that doesn't mean he's going to be any good.
No.
And it hasn't worked for Braxton Miller. And frankly, I think Bruce Ellington is more expensive than Braxton Miller, but he's obviously more reliable to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, there's no way they're going to keep QT, Braxton Miller, and Bruce Ellington. they're not going to keep all three of them at slot.
It's about the same guy.
And if you don't have punt return value for Braxton Miller, he has no chance of making
this
team.
Well, and I think now that Rick is gone, you just go, well, there's another third rounder that Rick blew. That's all. And
that's probably what
because we have not seen one iota of hope that Braxton Miller is going to be a good NFL wide receiver. We just haven't seen it. Not yet. And you know what? Bruce Ellington made plays. And this is their pick. QT is their pick. So I would think of all if you're gonna lay down some money on this, Miller's the guy that's on the outside looking in. 746 ESPN 97.5 trying to catch up on breaks right here.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah. Warren Sharp joining us top of the hour. We'll find out we'll take a look at the Texans schedule and the schedule. I like to say the schedule.
It's about time we got to their schedule.
And, we really haven't talked about the Texans schedule this year. And then and we'll find out whether or not the Texans, there's any – oh, I got them right here. Here they are. Warren tweeted them out for us. Whether or not the Texans, there's anything that might be – a little odd in their schedule this year. So we'll see.
NBA went last night. Well, you got the Rockets going tonight. Houston is back at home against Utah Jazz as the Rockets look to punish the Jazz and finish that series off. So you had two games on the brink of elimination and sweeps yesterday, right, in Eastern Conference. And what often happens is you expect the team to have some fight and say, we are not getting eliminated. But really what usually happens is when you get down 3-0, teams pack it in and they're going on vacation. They're done. That happened with the Raptors and the Cavs.
Good
the Raptors,
Lord.
The Raptors just were like, we're done.
35 points.
We're done.
That was ridiculous.
We're finished. And the Cavs blew them out. The Sixers did not go quietly into that good night. There was some scrapping going on literally on the court between Joel Embiid and Terry Rozier. 103-92 was the final as Philadelphia showed up and showed that they're not ready to go home yet. Now, that could still end up being an interesting
series. It absolutely could.
Philadelphia's blown some things.
Yeah,
so far.
They really have. And here's the difference is T.J. McConnell. And is it scary for you? T.J. McConnell started. T.J. McConnell was the star of the game. T.J. McConnell facilitated. They said afterwards that, who was it? It was Brown, maybe Jaylen Brown or Rozier, who said, man, McConnell gets into the lane. We're so used to Ben Simmons getting in the lane and passing to everybody. McConnell's in the lane and he's shooting. He was 9 of 12. He had 19 points. Brett Brown said he started him. If you're Philadelphia and you can't start Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons has been really bad in this series.
Yeah, they moved him to the three last night.
Yeah, they moved him to the three.
Place to Covington.
Wait a minute. I'm listening to Sal Palantonio this morning. He said, well, I don't think there's any question, and Brett Brown knows more than me, but that the best guard combination is McConnell at the one and Simmons at the two. You mean you want a shooting guard that can't shoot? That's what you want? That's what you want, Sal Palantonio.
Well, but shooting guard is just a name. I mean,
I know it's just a name. However, it would be nice if you had a little ability. Ben Simmons is scared right now of shooting the basketball.
Yeah, yeah. He's a rookie. I mean, he's still his first year playing basketball.
But he's the number one overall pick. But he's the future of your franchise. When T.J. McConnell is a better option and a much better option.
See, I think we're in one series. This is not going to be. I mean, this guy's learning to play back. Magic Johnson couldn't shoot at all when he came into the league. Zero. everything, and he developed as
better
he,
than Ben Simmons, dude.
Magic wasn't asked to shoot from three at all. There was no like, Magic didn't shoot threes. Ben Simmons will get better as a shooter. All guys come in the league do. He'll work on it all offseason. He'll become a better shooter. He may never. DeMar DeRozan was never a 3-point shooter, and just recently he's added some, but he knew his limitations. Ben Simmons doesn't try to shoot threes. Ben Simmons' whole job just has to be facilitating, rebounding, getting into the paint. He's going to be fine. They're just trying to find something that will work, and I think that's a great idea. They said, all right, we got a 6'9" point guard. Let's move him to the three in place of Covington, and let's just change the dynamic. And it was smart, and it worked. I don't think this has anything to do with the long-term ramifications. If anything, you may see McConnell Simmons in the future when J.J. Redick is gone. And you'll just say, look, we want McConnell. We'll just, like Chris Paul and James Harden. We'll switch off who's going to control. It's still going to be Ben Simmons as a big ball controller, I think.
You would think. However, in this series.
By the way, Simmons had 13 rebounds, 5 assists.
When you're up against a coach that you play and you have a 7-game series, a coach who knows how to shut you down when you can't shoot at all.
Right.
Then it's a problem.
Well, unless you're doing other things. He had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. That's a really good game.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's doing other things. He's not just a one-man show.
But that is the... If T.J. McConnell is and is the savior, Palantonio was like, if he had started T.J. McConnell, they could be a 3-1 right now.
Or he's Matthew Dellavedova.
It's one game.
Right. Maybe it's Matthew Dellavedova from the finals a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
He had one game. It's
one game. We're acting like Dellavedova, you know, Dellavedova was the Curry stopper. Like, holy crap. Yeah, right. This guy is magic, this Matthew Dellavedova.
Well, we'll see if McConnell
the Aussie Flash
is. Because he did shut down. He really did take Terry Rozier out of the game.
We'll see. Boston has been trashed his entire postseason on the road. Now it's only been 2 series, but they're 1-4. They go home where they haven't lost. McConnell had his moment. I don't suspect it's a long-term thing. I mean, maybe I won't say he's T.J. McConnell, like that's an explanation, but we've seen what he's been. If you watch the Sixers, he had a game. He's a fiery, hard-nosed, whatever, all the adjectives you want to use to describe him, and he had a night, and maybe he just surprised Celtics.
But you know now
I'll tell you this, though. If we had Ben Simmons right now, if he was here, we'd be freaking out about the way he played in this series.
Yeah, but, I mean, once again, it also shows what fans and media are. Basketball people would say, dude, this is the guy's first playoffs ever. Dream didn't play well in his first playoff series when he was in Houston, or first year of the playoffs when he was in Houston. It happens. He's going to become a much better player.
All right.
By the way, McConnell, I'm just noticing this. Now, granted, last night he had 12 field goal attempts. This guy in the last 5 games is shooting 77% from the field. 9 for 12, 2 for 2, 4 for 4, 0 for 1. In this series alone, he is 15 for 19 from the field.
Well,
McConnell is.
Because he's one of the great players in NBA history.
I guess so.
All right, Warren Sharp's going to join us top of the hour, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Texans' lines right here on ESPN 97.5.
Let me tell you about Men's Tee Clinic, 4 locations. I go to the one at 1801 Durham and I-10. That one's fantastic. Well, I say that one's fantastic. They're all very, very similar. I just know this much. Going to Men's Tee Clinic and the location at 1801 Durham, I just know that I can get in and get out quickly. Even when the place is full of guys who are in there trying to get their testosterone levels back to where they should be, you really don't have a long wait. So it is a chance for you to jump in during your lunch break if it's about finding the right time to go in. It's very important. If you feel overly fatigued, you've lost your drive, maybe libido's an issue, maybe it's you're just not getting the most out of your workouts, you just feel like there's just something off, that could be lower testosterone level, and it happens in 1 out of every 3 men over the age of 40. It's something that happens naturally in the body, the same way testosterone is produced naturally in the body. Once it goes down, you know, you're going to see a decline in a lot of different areas. Now, I will tell you this. When you get your level back to where it should be, you are going to feel like a different person. You're going to feel like yourself again. And if you haven't been that way for quite some time, you're going to remember what it was like to be able to be the real you. Get back to being the real you. Go to Men's Tee Clinic. There's 4 locations, 1 in Pasadena, 1 in Pearland, 1 in the Heights, and 1 in Cypress. For more information, simply go to the website, mensteeclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.